picture yourself in a living room.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. If you were listening to the ball game and the post game, God love you, and thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate it.
It was a hard listen today.
It was a hard listen. We'll get into that a little bit more in this hour, and then Matt Pauly, who you were listening to doing the post game, will join us in the 4 p.m. hour. Matt had some really good observations there. I want to dive deep with him. Attorney Brad Young is a consistent contributor to KMOX, does lots of fill-ins on the shows, and is with us every Thursday, and evidently just passed out. So... You okay?
Yeah, no, I'm here. Okay. That was me hitting the floor because I was looking at the Johnson & Johnson stock today.
Yeah.
It skyrocketed because of increased sales of baby oil.
Oh, boy. I should have known that you'd have that one geared up. That's a good one. Okay, I like playing this game with you. Let me tell you what I think is happening, and then you tell me where I've gone awry. Sean Combs was found guilty of a couple of prostitution raps. Not your basic, got caught in a sting at a massage parlor, but the Mann Act, transporting people across state lines for the purpose of prostitution, not an insignificant charge, but nothing like the RICO that could have been life in prison, correct?
Actually, you nailed it.
Hey!
You got it exactly. And some of this we could see from the way the prosecution went. I mean, for example, you mentioned RICO. That was the big daddy of charges here. And unfortunately, and I would really love to talk to prosecutors about this, they didn't put on any evidence of any collusion or conspiracy. There were no other witnesses who testified that they worked with Combs to bring in people to do this and do that. There was none of those witnesses. I mean, imagine if this is a mob trial, you know, you've got to bring in Luigi the cook to testify that the mob boss paid him money to help knock off so-and-so. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get the RICO charges. There were no other witnesses who testified about the conspiracy. So it's really not surprising that he was acquitted when it comes to the RICO charges.
So this would not be a case of double jeopardy, would it, on the RICO charges? Is it have to be convicted or is it just tried and acquitted? So they couldn't come back for another bite at the apple, even if there is new evidence.
No, they could not. That's it. That's it on the RICO charges. But there are so many different statutes out there, particularly federal statutes, under which you could bring new charges under different statutes if the evidence presented itself.
Yeah.
But I think I think that the days of prosecuting Diddy at this point are over.
So what's he looking at? I think it's a maximum of 10 years per charge.
Well, he did get convicted of two charges of related to the bringing in of the male escorts, and there was lots of evidence for that. And he was convicted on both of those charges. Each of those have a maximum penalty of 10 years. And I was looking briefly at sentencing guidelines today, and it looks like he could probably get between 4 and 5 years for both of those, because they would be served consecutively. Mm-hmm. You get between 4 and 5 years actually prison time from those two charges. But listen, on the other two, you know, there was lots of evidence from Cassie Ventura, the ex-girlfriend, that was supporting a charge of sex trafficking by force. There was also someone named Jane Doe. We don't know her name. But it's interesting, as you look at these cases over the years with celebrities and their girlfriends, juries are just often reluctant to convict celebrities on sex trafficking because it becomes difficult to determine if the girlfriend was or was not coerced into sex. She testifies she was. The challenges, the cross-examination was, well, you did have consensual sex with him on many occasions, didn't you? Yes, I did. So then it becomes difficult to prove that on these occasions it was forced, and that shows the problem of these types of criminal charges against celebrities.
So, Brad, in about 45 minutes, as I understand it, they're going to have a hearing on bail. His attorneys have gleefully already filed some half-baked motion saying, we'll give you $1 million right now. $1 million, that sounds good. There's a good bail amount. I mean, do you think he's going home tonight?
I don't, because he's going to be serving actual jail time. I mean, I don't see any reasonable scenario where he gets to go home and serve based upon time served and under house arrest. I just don't see that happening. Now, could he be released today? Yes, but I don't think he will be. His defense team, you're right, they've pressed for $1 million bond. They've also said he'll surrender his passport. He'll have his travel restricted to the federal courts and his homes in California and Florida. But listen, for him, house arrest, I mean, how bad is that?
Yeah.
So really do think that the judge either will or certainly should reject this idea of releasing him tonight, and they'll keep him in prison.
Okay. Very good, Brad. You're the best. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Any thoughts from the group on Diddy before we move on?
Not really, except to agree with that last part. What's home arrest to a guy that has you know, an estate? Like, oh no, make me stay in luxury.
Yeah.
I mean, if you committed the crimes that you're convicted of, then the sentence should be what I would get or what you would get.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. And if that's the case, then that's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, they should set a sentencing for a couple months from now. He should go back to his prison cell until then. They're going to tell him, like Brad said, okay, you're going to do 4 or 5 years in prison. He will appeal, but he will appeal while he's in prison. Because some people get to appeal and stay out of prison.
Right.
But those aren't typically not disgusting crimes.
And also people with the ability to flee, too, right? I mean,
yeah,
he's super rich. He could be gone in a minute. Remember when he was not there at the raid, right? He was gone for a while.
Right. He was at, like, Bahamas or Barbados or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a very, very stupid legal question. It's sort of a general legal question. And I apologize if it is, like, as stupid as I think it is. When you get convicted of crimes, right, and you're already in jail, and they're like, all right, you're guilty of these two things. Now we're going to figure out how long we're going to put you away for. Why is it even a question that you would then get to, like, just go home?
Like, typically it's for something not that serious with someone who's never had any legal issues before. There's nothing prurient about it. There's nothing disgusting about it. It is, we can trust this person. They're an upstanding citizen, like Trump, you know? I mean, he's a convicted felon.
Yeah.
But he's not in jail. They put off his sentencing. That's certainly a different circumstance when you're a former president and a possible future president. But yeah, it does. I started to say the frequency with which it happens. I don't know. I would be making that up.
But it wouldn't happen if he was, like, convicted of a double homicide or
no. I can tell you this: common criminals who aren't multi millionaires don't go home.
Yeah. Okay.
It's just like, okay, chief, you've been in prison. Awaiting trial. We've had the trial. You're found guilty. You're going back to prison. You can appeal if you want, but good luck.
I get you.
Dave, there had been reports throughout the trial that when certain people were testifying and whatnot, that Sean Combs would kind of look at them and convey, like, hey, I know who you are. You better watch your back.
Yeah.
Does that play into, you know, any decision that's being made now as far as, like, he's not making overt threats, but he's implying something with that kind of behavior.
I don't know that legally a judge would say, I noticed you giving the scratchy eyeball to certain witnesses, so I'm not going to send you home. But judges are people. They're humans. And they develop likes and dislikes for people. This judge heard all of this testimony. I can't imagine this judge thinks much of Sean Combs. That could play into it. Mm-hmm. Just sort of you're a disgusting person. I don't like you. I don't like the way you conducted yourself in my courtroom. At one point, I had to warn you that I was going to remove you from the courtroom. Remember that, because he was making faces at people and possibly tampering with witnesses. So, yeah, that could come into it, but probably not officially. That'd be more just a vibe that the judge had.
Okay, this is reminding me of a story I saw the other day. Because, I mean, I think we can all agree that even if he goes home and doesn't really have to serve any time for this, Sean Combs is pretty much done in many social circles, many professional circles, I would think.
You would think. I mean, there were a bunch of people there supporting him. Brad's joke about baby oil is not that far off. A bunch of the people there had big, giant things of Johnson & Johnson baby oil outside the courtroom. What blew me away is there were pictures of women there. Freako does not equal Rico. They were wearing T-shirts supporting Sean Combs, which I can't for the life of me unless you are, your last name is Combs, I don't understand why you wouldn't just let it play out.
That is an interesting phenomenon. Like, I know Brian Koberger has, like, several women who are into him and writing him letters, and it's like, how does that happen? Yeah. Like, what goes on in your life to make you want to do that? But anyway, that reminded me of this story I saw the other day. Kevin Spacey, also very disgraced because of all the allegations against him. He has declared he will not collaborate with those in Hollywood who judged him guilty. He's like, I don't want to work with you. And I'm thinking, I don't think it's going to be that much of a problem.
Yeah. I think you'll be able to work that out.
Yeah, it's really easy when no one's calling. It's really easy to be like, you know what? I think I'm going to leave you all in the dust.
Yes, please, Kevin. I know I said you're a sexual predator, but do my new movie.
I shan't be doing that.
Doubt that happens. All right, going to take a quick break. Right back. Happy Wednesday, DGS and KMOX. Felt the need to get up for it. Oh, you caught off a little bit. Just forget my number on the door. Welcome back, DGS and KMOX. Rach, what is the accountability hot potato for the violence at Pride Fest?
Oh, man, let me get this pulled up. They wrote about this in the Post-Dispatch, I think last night is when I saw it. So everyone's trying to point fingers and say, like, whose fault is it that all this violence broke out in the Grove over Pride? And the police are blaming leaders in the Grove for the Pride weekend violence, saying if they would have had a permit for this event, we would have been able to wand people as they were coming in and out. But there's only so much we can do at this point. Leaders in the Grove are saying, I don't understand why you would say that, because this was not a sanctioned event. We have nothing to do with the downtown Pride Fest that happens at the end of June. People happen to come to the Grove after Pride because it is a neighborhood that's very LGBTQ plus friendly in the St. Louis area. But we were not having some sort of sanctioned festival.
Yeah.
There were several businesses that hired their own private security to try to get a hold on the situation. I just find this kind of thing incredibly discouraging, that we're having public spats about this. Like, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. No, it's your fault. It's like, okay, well, how are we going to make it better in the future is the only thing I'm really interested in.
Well, I don't understand it even to the degree that you do, obviously, but my gut would be the primary responsibility falls on the idiots.
Yeah.
Whoever those people were, whether there were five of them or 500 of them, when you show up anywhere and you start, you know, standing on cars and doing all the crazy stuff and causing trouble and gunplay and shooting at each other, it's your fault. I tend to sort of side with the people in the Grove. I mean, it's one thing. It's a neighborhood. It's like, say, if people did this in Soulard, saying, well, you should have had permits. Well, no, we're just Soulard. People just show
businesses.
Up. We're just businesses. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's a special weekend in the Grove for Pride Fest, but I didn't think we would need any sort of permits for the police force to keep us safe. Now, I also understand that the police force seems a bit technicality, but to say, like, well, we can't wand people if you don't have permits. Well, you're cops. You have instincts. You can see what's going on, and you've seen this kind of thing happen over and over again. You should have some acumen about it. You should have some police expertise to be able to say, I think this is going to percolate into something bad. Let's call for backup and let's start intervening in this. Again, I don't know jack crap about being a police officer, but that's just kind of the way it hits me.
Yeah. So whose fault was it when the fights were breaking out in Keener Plaza? Whose fault was it when we've got people doing donuts in the intersection outside of police headquarters a year and a half ago or whatever that was? Like, it's, and again, I'm not blaming police. They don't have enough tools. I mean, I think it's very clear that there just aren't enough officers, there just isn't enough, there aren't enough resources to go around. But no, nobody's pointing the blame at the businesses in those areas. Nobody's saying, well, you shouldn't have had businesses at Keener Plaza for whatever reason. I mean, what about last year's 4th of July? Like, I mean, I already brought this up because it's 4th of July this weekend, in case you're not paying attention. So last year's 4th of July got out of hand downtown, and there was a Cardinals game downtown, and people leaving the ballpark were caught up in a lot of the nonsense that was going on.
Which they typically are not.
So whose fault is that? I don't think it's productive to say, well, you should have done this. Mm-hmm. I think what's productive is we got to figure out how we can get control of these situations before one of them goes really badly.
Yes.
Way worse than it's gone so far.
Because it's going to.
Because it's not getting better. And yeah. people still do whatever they... I almost swore. They still do whatever they want in downtown St. Louis. Period, the end. They drive how they want, they behave how they want, and they don't care because nothing happens.
I'm also convinced of something. I'm convinced that the nicer the car you drive, and if you have your license up to date, you're the one who's going to get pulled over.
Of course, because you're the rule follower.
Yes.
Yeah, because they know you'll pull over and you'll pay your ticket. Again, yes. not blaming anybody, just saying that, you know, we've let so much go. How do you rein it back in? Because everything has a consequence to it, right? Well, if we start pulling over cars, they're going to run, and then we got to chase them, and we're not allowed to chase. I agree. Those are all problems. But we need to find solutions and not just go, welp, throw our hands up. I guess nobody has to renew their plates anymore. I guess everybody can just do donuts in the intersection, and you can take over a whole street mm-hmm. just because you feel like, or you can ride all your stupid mini bikes up and down every road and block the highway for or block the road for people. I mean, I feel like we've just kind of thrown up our hands. Like, well, can't do anything about that. How are you going to bounce back downtown if that's not going to happen?
It feels that way.
I don't hear anybody saying, here's what we need to do. Here's a good plan for this. You know, we're going to hire this many people, or we're going to consult with this other city that's done a really good job with similar problems. I don't hear any of that. Doesn't mean it's not happening. But all I hear is, not my fault, not my fault, not my fault. Well, maybe it's not your fault, but maybe there's a solution out there that nobody's bringing up. I know everyone goes
any damn place that I... Welcome back, guys. DJ SMK Wax. Sorry about that. I got steamed.
It happens.
It happens. I pulled a wheeler on him, though. I didn't pay attention to the thing he was saying.
Oh,
so
there
that's
you go.
That's why the conversation took a while.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I just held my arms out like this, like you do, and I just
I like to rest them on the
down.
Table, yeah.
Yeah, you do.
That's because my laptop's there. It's easy.
So we have a live look from Dave Murray.
Yes.
A busy afternoon and evening with my grandson, so I couldn't be with you live today, but the weather is excellent for this time of year. No weather concerns at all. Humidity level still relatively comfortable for evening plans and 69 for the overnight. Oh, that's good. Headed into the holiday Thursday, sunny skies. I think we'll start to see a slow buildup in the humidity Thursday afternoon, and the temperatures will come up a little bit. 93 degrees, 73 and kind of humid Thursday night. Friday, 4th of July, sunny. It's hot. It's humid. Maybe a pop late day thunderstorm. Really tough to find, but 95 on Friday. Friday evening for the fireworks, we should be fine, though it will be warm and humid. Much the same on Saturday. Sunny, hot, and humid, mid-90s. A little better chance of a couple of scattered thunderstorms around on Sunday. So it's kind of a classic St. Louis holiday weekend on the way. There you have it. Be with you live tomorrow, guys.
I need to get one of those grandkids. Get you out of work. Wheels, I was thinking about you. I had two things happen today that were interesting. One, I got an email from a guy, a very long email, so I'm not going to read it. But he was making the point that he is a lifelong baseball player. He's a lifelong baseball fan. He has one son who's 14 and under and another son who's 10 under, both travel teams. And he said it has completely ruined his love of baseball. And he wasn't kidding. He was being serious. He said that the way the kids play today is so ridiculous with like the accoutrement and like wearing the necklaces and having every pad and every having this and the way they like they'll get salty with the umpires and they'll draw a little line on the dirt. And he's like, it's absolute. These are just a bunch of wise ass babies and it's just ruined it. And then I was listening to Chris and Amy this morning driving in, and I heard them talk about something that a new study shows that kids are getting so burned out on sports these days that most of them are quitting their sport before we were at an age we would have even started it. Does that make sense?
I kind of get what that where that is. I'd love to see exactly what they're looking at, like which sports, is it one that's worse than others, that kind of thing. But there's a lot about the youth sports world that is not going great. But almost everything that that guy just listed, that you just listed from that email, is something that parents should be on top of and not anybody else.
Hmm.
If your kid's behavior towards an umpire is happening that way or other, that's a parent thing. If your kid acts that way to another adult, you're letting them. Not necessarily this person.
It's,
if it's not his kids doing it, right? It might be somebody else's kids doing it. They only have what you buy for them. You can tell them you don't need two oven mitts and six batting gloves and a necklace and a towel out of your back pocket. You can tell them you don't need any of that stuff. We'll get you what you need. You need a glove, you need a bat, you need the shoes, and yeah, you need batting gloves. I mean, like, but we're not, we don't need, you're not going to a fashion show. Everything in that we talk about that tends to get complained about with youth sports is fully under the control of parents. If you don't want to play that much or you don't want to travel that much, don't. Like, you control this. You know, that's the, I think that's a big difference. Like, don't act like it's happening to you.
I don't disagree. Clearly, I don't disagree. No one can. But can't you feel the parents out there right now going, you don't know my kid. I don't control this.
No, but I mean, like, I was a kid and I raised a kid. And
but I feel for the parents.
I get it. I get it. I mean, I came up in the youth baseball world, but it was not this world. It was a completely different set. We had travel ball, but it wasn't like what it is now. That just meant that you played like the other cities that were right around you in a league. That's all it meant. It didn't mean tournaments every weekend and traveling five or six times a summer. It didn't mean any of that stuff. And I get where the email is coming from because it can be hard. I like the thing I get sick of is teams that are going to bring their stupid like speaker system to play music between innings and for every walk up and before the game at a quad where there's four fields and everybody's playing their own damn music and you're playing your music so loud I'm in my dugout on the other side and I can't hear myself talk. That I hate. Because that's completely inconsiderate to everyone around you, and it's for your entertainment purposes only.
Surprised there aren't rules against that.
I mean, well, first of all, tournaments don't enforce anything. All they want is anybody's money. They don't care about pitchers pitching too much and injuring themselves. They don't care about who's using the right quality of bat for their age. I don't care about any of those things. They just want your money. And I think that there's but parents do have to take control to a degree, and you have to cede control in other ways. Like, don't sweat umpires. Leave them alone. If they stink, they stink. Nobody's going to care what your 12-year-old kid's batting average was. Zero people will ever care. If you're the parents in the stands keeping track of your own kid's stats, stop. You're adding stress to you and to them for nothing. Not one college coach will go, what did you hit when you were 12? It doesn't matter. It doesn't make a difference at all. I deal with this all the time, mostly the kids. Like, was that a hit or an error? I tell them, it doesn't matter. Nobody cares what your batting average was or is. It will never matter.
But I bet they all know it.
Oh, they all kind of do. And I did at the age two. I'm just trying to teach the lesson. Like,
yeah.
This stuff doesn't matter.
It's sad, though, the second part of it, the Chris and Amy part, that kids would be burned out at a younger age than we would have even started Corey League.
That's what I don't understand. Like, how are you getting burned out at eight when most things start at eight? Like, I mean, like, there's T-ball before that. There's little pee-wee stuff that goes on in every sport.
And we're just thinking baseball. I think it's also, like, gymnastics and...
Yeah, yeah. Well, that I can see because those things...
Girls soccer.
Those are things, especially, like, gymnastics, dance. Those are things that start that early, right? Like, you know, and I'm not saying that they don't... that it's not all sports. That's why I wanted to see kind of... how it was laid out, is there one activity or two maybe that stand out from the crowd? Yeah. Maybe it is baseball. Maybe it is that, but like, you're not playing basketball when you're five. But you're not really playing.
Can I tell you about an even dumber sport?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen sport fishing?
I have seen sport fishing.
Oh, for the love of God, Rach. Have you seen this?
I mean, is it just whenever they do like a TV show about fishing?
No, it's when they're actually competing. And look, I'm going to piss off three people really bad out there, and everyone else is not going to care. But look, we made fun of the bikers the other day for wearing the Lance Armstrong gear when you're going down Kirkwood Road. And I'm in a glass house on this because I'm playing old man baseball, and I'm about to put on a for real uniform and go play next Tuesday. I'm not wearing, you know, cutoffs and a T-shirt. But these guys wear uniforms. And it just, like...
To fish.
To fish. Yes, there were. And I get what it is. It's what everything is. It's money. So Triton.
Sponsors, yeah.
Sponsors can put their name on it. But you can put your name on a t-shirt. You look stupid.
Well, what kind of uniforms are they?
They look like a lightweight version of a NASCAR uniform.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen them get really mad at each other?
They do look kind of like racing jackets. Yeah.
What's that?
There's a famous video out there, one of those competitions. These guys got caught.
Oh, with the
weighting fishes.
The weighted balls.
Mm-hmm. Like dropping that. And they were like, all these guys are ready to kill the two guys.
Ready to kill them.
I mean, it was pretty heated.
Yeah.
I have an update.
And I get it, by the way. Money's on the line. I get it.
I have an update on the fireworks situation if you guys are interested.
Yeah.
So Mitch McCoy is the director of public affairs and information for the St. Louis Metro Police Department. He has come out and said, our message is crystal clear. Parents, you will be held responsible for the behavior of your children. There is going to be absolutely no excuse. He says that kids caught with fireworks are going to be detained and held. They're going to call their parents to come pick them up, and the parents will be cited.
I don't believe him.
There are multiple possible citations, possible including contributing to the delinquency of a minor and discharging fireworks.
I will be so happy, and I will eat crow and admit to Mitch that I'm wrong. If one ticket is written, that's enough. I don't think one ticket will be written.
Is it possible to charge someone for a crime that they didn't actually commit?
I mean, contributing to the delinquency of a minor is, but you're actually committing something in that you're allowing your minor to be somewhere doing something they're not supposed to do. But that would be, I mean, it's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, it's just a ticket, too. It's not a criminal offense.
Yes.
I mean, I guess it technically is, right?
And it would be tough to prove. I mean, there are plenty of people living out in the county whose kids sneak out and go out carousing, doing stupid stuff.
Yeah, we're going to Timmy's house, but really you're doing something else.
You're not
going
to charge someone in Ladue with contributing to the delinquency of a minor. And if you're not, then you shouldn't do it to a kid who's from the inner city.
No.
Or a parent from the inner city.
No.
As much as I want to see people held responsible, don't make empty threats. You're not going to write those tickets.
I mean... And I mean, if this is why I keep asking the question about presence and how many people are going to be around. So let's say squad car pulls up and 25 kids run. Because if you're rolling around, I've seen the videos. I mean, they're groups of like 20, 25 kids, and they're doing things that they think are fun. They're shooting fireworks at each other, right? They're having these battles. And it's adults doing those things too, by the way. It's not just kids. But then they scatter. So then what? Do you have the bodies to round them up? Ask for their ID? I mean, again, great. I think, I'm all for whatever you can do.
I think, I hate to say this, but just doing the mathematics, it seems like something really bad is going to have to happen. And that could be someone dies, and then we get serious about it. Or it could be the police get serious about it, and they arrest 50 people. And 50 families have to go through this. Maybe that causes the next people to not do it.
Mm.
But I don't think it's going to be, even if I'm wrong and they do write a half a dozen tickets, that's not going to do it.
So,
and don't get me wrong, because I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth. I want to see something done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just very skeptical about it actually happening.
Yeah, it's fair. It's a fair skepticism. So this is not about the police in any way. This is totally separate, but... We had the girl, Janae Edmonds, lose her legs down the street. What has changed as a result of that? I mean, I know that the person driving that car was out on house arrest and had violated house arrest a bunch of times. That was under the Kim Gardner watch. Stuff wasn't being enforced. So I'm sure that Gabe Gore's changed how that works.
Yeah.
We haven't heard the same complaints. But what has changed about traffic patterns or enforcement or anything in downtown St. Louis?
Yeah, nothing that I can see.
Yeah, see, when you're out, I do the false start maybe four or five times a show.
Do you?
Like, I'll start, and I'm like, idiot, turn on your microphone.
Headlines?
Yeah, Headlines is brought to you by Schnucks. Reward yourself daily with the Schnucks Rewards app. Paramount is going to pay $16 million in a settlement with Donald Trump over 60 Minutes. This interview with Kamala Harris, basically, as part of the agreement, 60 Minutes will also release transcripts of future interviews with eligible U.S. presidential candidates. You know that Trump accused 60 Minutes of altering her interview, basically making her look better than she actually did. And they have decided to settle for $16 million.
And you know the backstory, right? So there's this woman who owns it, who has a big giant payout coming. And she thinks that Trump will hold that up, that he will somehow use the FCC to keep her from getting her giant, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars payout and Redstone. And so that's why all the trades are saying that they're making it happen. So the people at CBS are really pissed because they don't think they did anything wrong, but she's willing to pay 16 to get 100. So
as long as she's happy, right?
As long as she's happy.
Kanye West is banned from Australia over a recent single which glorifies Nazism and Adolf Hitler. It follows earlier anti-Semitic remarks made by Kanye West online. So that guy's still in the news, never for anything good.
Yeah.
The Mayo Clinic's AI tool is able to identify 9 dementia types, including Alzheimer's, with just one scan. And this tool achieved a 88% accuracy rate in identifying these dementia types.
Man, I love hearing this and I hate hearing this. As someone who has the genetic markers for Alzheimer's, and both my mom and dad had dementia when they passed away, and my dad not that much older than me, 16 years older than me, I love every medical advance we make, but I think you guys will get this. When I hear, like, there's a blood test, I'm like, I don't want to take it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they say, like, they can... that you have Alzheimer's 20 years before you show your first symptoms. But if there's a way to show it, like, yes, you're going to get diabetes in 10 years. Would you want to know?
I think I would want to know, yes. Just to be able to prepare.
Yeah.
And maybe do whatever you can to slow it.
Yeah. Which I'm doing now.
Yeah.
I try now. But you know what sucks about this, and there may be other people out there in the audience who are in the same position I am, is that when you are 60, you have brain farts. You just do.
Yeah. You have that when you're 50, yeah.
Right. But when I was 50, every brain fart wasn't, here, there it is.
I get you. Yeah. It wasn't
there it is.
In your dome. Yeah.
One more story here before we have to go to break. Krispy Kreme is giving away free donuts on July 4th. All you have to do is dress the part. They're giving away a free original glazed donut to customers wearing red, white, and blue on July 4th. Limited to 1 donut per person, but there's no purchase necessary.
Nice. Good for Krispy Kreme.
Got to break out my collection of hats and fake mustaches.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 104.1 FM KMOX. Happy Wednesday to you. So, housekeeping details. We started late today because of the Cardinals game. Tomorrow is a full show. Friday, we probably won't be on at all. I think Kevin and I are going to be kind of circling around the game just in case it's a 2-hour game or something. But other than that, we'll be off for the July 4th. Matt Pauly joins us. And Matt, before we get into the Cardinals, let's get into you here. You've had a couple of health concerns. How you doing?
I'm all right. Yeah, yesterday was one of the more interesting days of my life. I tweaked my knee like a week ago working out. No big deal. Small thing. We all deal with it. It wasn't. It was not healing at the rate that I would have liked to heal. So I walked into an ortho clinic yesterday. They said do a steroid shot. It'll be better in a week or so. That was about 10 in the morning. Andrew texted me at 1 and said, "Hey, can you come on DGS at 4? Sure, no problem. Everything was good. By 1:30. I was in the most pain I've ever been in my entire life. My knee had completely locked up. I could not move. My wife got me to the ER, thankfully. I don't know how she got me to the car. At one point, I was sitting on like the side of the couch, and I literally could not move my right leg no matter what I did. I finally kind of kicked it with my left foot to get it to move just a little bit, and... it was the first time in my life. They always ask you at the doctor, like, what's your pain level 1 to 10? First time I've ever said 10 in my life. And They gave me some drugs. My leg is completely immobilized right now. I cannot move my knee at all. The pain's better today, but I still don't have any movement in my knee. So I am working from home for the time being because I cannot drive a car right now.
Man, oh man, that's terrible.
So you're saying that I should challenge you to a race now?
Now would be the moment to do it. It's pretty bad when your one-year-old daughter is crawling at three times the speed that you can walk.
Oh, man, that's terrible.
Yes, I just had some sort of reaction to that steroid shot where I got an effusion in my knee where it just filled up with fluid and completely locked everything up. And I've never experienced the pain that I had yesterday that I've ever had in my life. It was my wife. I needed to like tell people I can't work. I couldn't talk. I was literally screaming. I was just screaming in pain. And my wife called Steve to tell him, hey, Matt's not coming in tonight.
Wow. That's just nuts.
God almighty.
Yeah. So 24 hours ago right now was not good for me.
Was it instant relief when they gave you the drugs?
No, and I had started, I was at the ER for like 7 hours. It took me 3 hours to even see the doctor. So I'm sitting in the waiting room, writhing in pain for hours. Mm. My wife and two daughters are there with us, and my wife did an amazing job keeping them, you know, together. By the time I finally got, it was probably 4.5 hours till I saw an actual doctor, and by that point, the pain had started to subside a little bit, and then, yeah, once they gave me the Percocet or whatever it was, then things started to feel a lot better, and I woke up better today. Like, I did not take one of those drugs today. I think I'm done with those now.
Did they seem pretty sure what it was right away?
Yeah, they did the X-ray and they saw the effusion, so they knew right away what it was.
Yep. Gotcha.
Scary though, like when your leg just stops working and you're experiencing pain like you've never had before, all kinds of terrible thoughts start to go through your head.
Isn't life weird? Because we've all seen television shows where someone is in the ER with a 10 out of 10 pain, and you're like, eh, I'm sure that doesn't happen that often. And then suddenly you're that person. Like that's your reality.
And it wasn't enough to push me to the front of the line either.
Yeah, they must not have believed you.
No, I think they believe me. It's just that's the state of medicine today. And we chose our hospital based off which one probably would get us in the quickest.
Yeah.
And even with that, it was still 3 hours in the waiting room before even getting back and another 90 minutes in our little, you know, cubicle type thing before we even saw a doctor.
So is the prognosis good? I mean, do you know if there's something more sinister underlying this?
I don't think so. I think it's, I think I just, I know, actually it was interesting, one of the former coaches that I worked with in college basketball, she's now an assistant coach for a WNBA team, she saw my post on Facebook about it, and she said the exact same thing happened to her, where she was crawling out of her place in the middle of the night to get to her car to drive, to get to the hospital. And I vaguely had remembered that because I was around the team then. I think sometimes people just have these negative reactions to steroid shots. Mm. And I think, you know, once that problem fixes, the other problem is going to fix too. And I should be good to go.
Okay. You're listening to Matt Pauly. Matt does the pre and the post game and sports open line and such. Matt, I thought you had especially good, poignant thoughts there at the end of your post game. And I'm going to butcher this, but basically my dad used to say, you're either chicken or feathers. You're either great or you're crappy. And that seems to be a pattern we have with the Cardinals.
Yeah. Either they can't lose or they can't score. It's not just can't win, but can't score in a situation like this. Let's give the Pirates some credit. They came in on a great roll.
Sure.
They beat the Mets like 31-4 in their three games beforehand. So they're above 500 since Don Kelly took over as the interim manager. So this Pirates team is not indicative of their, you know, 12 game under 500 record. But the bottom line is you certainly should not be going in there and getting swept. And even more so, you shouldn't be going in there and not scoring a single run. The numbers with runners in scoring position today were terrible. They were 1-for-10 with runners in scoring position. And I'm very aware of the fact that there's some guys out of the lineup, but it should not impact the team so much that they can't score a single run. And now they have – this is a big series coming up against Chicago starting on Friday.
Yeah, this season has been super weird in that way, right? It's been the giant pendulum swing One minute you look up and you're like, man, I don't know if they're ever going to be good. And the next time you look up, you're like, wow, they've won 10 of the last 12. And it's like it's been this back and forth. I don't know how many teams would be good offensively if you take out their number three, number four hole hitters and your number five or six hole guy. I mean, when you don't have Herrera and Contreras, those are your two best hitters. Now, to your point, Matt, that doesn't mean it should be zero. It doesn't mean there should be no runs on the board for three straight games. To make the other side of that argument, not against you, but just of the Pirates thing, they swept the Mets literally right before this series started. So they're playing well right now. Their bats got hot for this week of time. We'll see how long they get it. They keep it going. But, I mean, it's not like they were on a 10-game losing streak and you came in and they did that. They've been playing good ball. In fact, they've been playing, I want to say, better than 500 ball since their managerial change.
Yeah, I think they're two games over 500 now since Don Kelly took over.
But I think the main point, and I think the scary point for Cardinals fans, and we see it in these wild swings, there just isn't room for error. If one thing is off, you're not winning. I mean, like whether it's a couple of starting pitchers, whether it's, you know, the offense for a period of time. But if you, I'll break it down better later, Matt, when we're doing Redbird Rush Hour. But you can see the wild swings. Like you start 14-19, and then you go on this huge run in May where you're just unbelievable and it doesn't look like you're going to lose. And then you go on another stretch where you lose like 10 out of 13. And then now you bounce back and now you're doing it again. Like now you've lost five of the last eight. Like it's just this constant swinging back and forth. And I think the one thing that ties it together is the lack of room for error.
I would agree. It's weird because their best is really, really good, but it's like they're at the top of a mountain, and if you take one step forward, you fall down a significant amount to get to your second best. You know, whatever your level is when you're not clicking on all cylinders, when all of a sudden one of those cylinders goes away, it really feels like they're a completely different team.
Yeah, it's. It's bizarre, but like as we've talked about, I think you and Bernie and I talked about it last week, maybe on the Redbird Rush Hour. It's like, but we knew this coming in. This stuff is not really surprising. In fact, what's surprising is they've been so comfortably above 500 for as much of the season as they have been.
I think what's surprising is how quickly it can turn. They swept Cleveland. It looked really, that final game of the Cleveland series, that same day the Cubs lose, the Brewers lose, you're moving up in the standings. Everything in the world is great when it comes to Cardinals baseball. And then the next day, they're a different team. So, yeah, I agree that I think we were expecting some version of this, but I think it's the light switch nature of how quickly it can go from bad to good that is a little bit startling.
Yeah. And, you know, when you're looking at it, I mean, we all see it, right? I mean, we talk about it all the time here, Dave. There are three guys when they start, you don't feel like you know what you're going to get, good or bad. It could be good, but it could also be bad. You've got a bullpen that has some guys have built some trust, but not many. You know, and even the closer doesn't have a really big margin for error at this point.
Well, Wheels, you said something the other day, and you're here to correct me if I paraphrase it incorrectly, but you basically said that we have three fifth starters on our rotation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, people were mad that Andrew Haney shut down the Cardinals in game one. He'd be your third starter. He's better than three of your guys. I mean, he's not better than Libertor or Sonny Gray, but he's better than the other three.
Mitch Keller might be your two.
Mitch Keller would be as good as anybody on your staff. If you look at his season totals, his strikeouts, his ERA, all that, he might be Sonny Gray, talent-wise, like in terms of numbers.
I would still take Sonny Gray over Mitch Keller, but I think Mitch Keller would slot in and be, you know, Matthew Liberatore's best is probably better than Mitch Keller's best, but the consistency of who you are, I mean, Mitch Keller might slot in front of him.
I don't know. I mean, I it's a tough call. Sonny might get a slight edge in that regard, but yeah, the point is that Mitch Keller is as likely at least tied to be your second best starting pitcher. Obviously, Skeens is on his own planet.
Well, I heard on the pregame, they were playing, I think, Ollie from the Gas House yesterday. And Ollie basically said, hey, I'm doing the best with what I got here when it comes to the rotation. This is what we got.
Yeah, and they don't have much behind it. I mean, we've kicked that around. You got McGreevy, who could probably be good, but we don't know for sure. He's got a very small sample size. His last outing wasn't good.
What is Grisepo's deal? Like, I've only really saw him pitch once, and I was very impressed, but I know that he hasn't had the consistency.
He's not a starter in my book. He's everything about him says reliever. He adds the extra mile or two on his velo when he's a reliever, and that's going to be the difference for him at the major league level. I could be wrong. I just don't see a path for him to being a major league starter and being pretty good at it. He can have more of an impact as a reliever.
I mean, look, he's 25, so he's not a kid, and he's been okay this year at Memphis, but he's mostly working as a reliever at Memphis. I mean, he's only made 4 starts out of 14 appearances there, and here I think he's made nothing but relief appearances, like 10 relief appearances. And he's struggled as a starter even in the minors. You know, I mean, he's put a near 5 ERA as a starter in the minors the last couple of years.
Would you guys expect Weatherholt to make, when he does make the move, to just jump from Double A, or do you think he has to do the Triple A thing first?
I would think a little bit of time at AAA. If the team completely falls out of it, I could see the Mason Wynn situation where he comes up in September as a September call-up, still keeps his rookie eligibility for next season. If the team is still very much in it, I think that becomes more of an unlikely scenario. He's going to be in AAA before I'm not totally sure why he's still at AA.
Yeah, me too.
There's no good reason for him to be. I understand, like, they're... The Cardinals have always valued winning for developing players. They want them to be in winning environments, and they're winning at Springfield, and Memphis is not a winning team. You look at their lineup is not good. And he's probably in a better environment in terms of being surrounded by other players that protect him a little bit. I don't mean protect him from weaknesses, just you got to be careful to other guys, where Memphis, you don't really have that. But at some point, the individual development of a potential star player needs to trump you know, being in the right environment. Like, I think you can learn how to be a, quote, winning player to a degree, but you need to be challenged more than that. You need to face the best competition you can face. That's what's going to tell you whether you're ready for the big leagues or not.
Yeah.
Let me add this as somebody who was a AAA broadcaster for 6 years. AAA is the most toxic environment in all of baseball.
It's bad.
The only guy who wants to be at AAA is the guy who just got called up from Double A, and about 2 weeks later, he doesn't want to be there anymore. It's a bunch of guys who are sick of being at AAA or want to get back to the big leagues. No, Double A is such a better culture than AAA is. So there are teams out there that hide guys from AAA that maybe want to get them 2-3 weeks a month at the end of a season, or 2-3 weeks a month at a beginning of a season to eventually get them to the big leagues. I don't know if that plays into this at all with the Cardinals. I just know, having been around AAA, it's not a great environment.
No, it's not. But here's the thing about this. That only matters for some guys. That won't matter for J.J. Weatherholt. It's not going to bother him. He's a ball player. He'll be fine.
That's the most interesting thing you guys have said all day. That was really, no, for
AAA
real.
AAA is wild,
That's
man.
So interesting to know that.
Yeah.
Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. Feel better, buddy.
You bet. Thank you. Confine me.
Welcome back, guys. DGS 425. Thanks for being with us. Appreciate it. You can download the podcast. Andrew, how do they download the podcast?
Well, they can go to the Apple... in here. Oh, it's Kyle.
Are you expecting someone to sneak up on you?
I don't know. As soon as you said that, the door opened and somebody came in and scared
me.
You can go to Apple Podcasts, Spotify. You can go to the Odyssey app if you want. We're on the iHeart app now, which is fun.
Nice.
I've never used the iHeart app, so I don't 100% know how that one works, but it's probably the exact same as the Odyssey app.
Good, good, good. Bottom line is, there's lots of ways to find us. We're not streaming today because we started late, but we typically stream on Facebook and YouTube, and you can take part in it, and you can say things, and we'll typically shout you out or use your suggestion for the show, what have you. I shocked my body last night.
How'd you do that?
I ate grapes.
What?
Oh.
Yeah, my diet for about 2 years has been complete crap. Lots of DoorDash, lots of fast food, and like I talked about, I have the genetic marker for Alzheimer's. One of the things you should do is have like a Mediterranean diet, so I'm trying to do that. And last night, for the first time in months and months and months, I had a handful of grapes, and my body was like...
Not having it?
I think it's called fruit. I'm not sure, but I could just feel it.
I bet they tasted great.
Though. Yeah, I'm being a bit overly dramatic, but it was weird.
Yeah,
yeah.
Grapes are one of like the natural born desserts of the earth.
Yeah. Remember how I'm taking Prevagen for my memory, but I keep forgetting it?
Yes.
I have written procrastinate on my show sheet, and I circled day four. It's day four that I wanted to talk about my procrastination, but I procrastinated talking about my procrastination.
It just never feels like a good time.
How bad is that? But I heard something interesting. People who have whatever letters you want, ADHD, OCD, you know, PTSD, that what it is isn't so much that you're lazy. It's that something in your brain blows up a task. Like, I need to go to the DMV. Well, there's one that blows up into just like impossibility. But even like I should take the trash out turns into not just taking the trash out, but it turns into, well, then I have to like take the trash out of the can. Then I have to go take it out. Then
yeah,
I
it's
put
an
another
anxiety thing.
Totally. Totally. Just like an exaggeration of life.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I feel that. And I feel that way with a lot of chores. Like, I'll be like, oh, it's going to suck. I don't want to do it. And then you're actually doing it, and it's completely fine.
Totally
but your
fine.
Brain has just turned it into this, yeah. Like...
Except for the DMV. That's always bad.
Well, yeah. Yeah. That's always worse than you think it's going to be.
Also, it looks like the Trump administration is going to keep non-competes. The FTC had said, nope, we're against this. It's terrible. It's a version of paid slavery. You can't make people stay there if they don't want to stay there. You can't keep them from pursuing another job. And the Trump administration said, you can. So they're not going to pursue that.
Looking out for us.
Looking out for us.
Looking out for the working man.
Yes.
Because you know all those billionaires have to worry about non-competes.
So get used to your non-competes, people.
Yeah. Great.
I don't need it.
Welcome back, DGS 104.1 FM KMOX at 5 p.m. We'll turn it over to the Redbird Rush Hour, my favorite show on the station, other than Hancock and Kelly. They're my faves. Yeah, you guys do a nice job. Very nice job.
We try. Wish we had. It feels like we don't have a lot of time. It feels like every day we wrap up and we're like, we need more.
I can sense it in your voice.
We need more.
Yeah.
But no, then again, we probably don't.
Why I like it. I feel like I'm a pretty average fan, a St. Louis fan, because most St. Louis fans, it seems to me, know a little more than most fans. Like, they're pretty into it. They have a pretty good acumen for it. And you guys challenge me in that I'm not super into a lot of things you guys talk about, but it's interesting. And it takes me to the next level of fandom.
Yeah, I think it's hard. When it's not your job, it's hard to follow it that closely.
Yeah, it is.
Right? I mean, you know, this sounds like a really big pat on the back. It's not. It's just the job that Matt and I have. But when it is your job, you should know it.
Yeah, true.
I mean, that's, you know, what a lawyer does all day. They're getting paid to do that. They should be good at it. They should be
like, it's my job to know stupid stuff.
Yes.
I'm about to give you one. Medical science seems to have figured out what causes nightmares primarily. And it's diet. And it's three things.
Okay.
Dairy, spicy foods, and sweets. And the closer to bed you have them, the better your chance. It's literal nightmare fluid of fuel.
Really?
Yes. And my whole thing until very recently has been to have a ding dong and a big gulp of milk.
Okay.
So, although I don't have terrible nightmares, maybe two or three a year, thankfully. But yeah, that's what causes it. You seem unmoved.
No, it's curious. I'm trying to think like how they reconcile because I generally do not have nightmares.
But you don't remember.
Well, that's right. I don't remember.
What if he's having like terrible nights?
Maybe I just, that's possible. I mean, if I don't remember, I don't remember. So maybe. But I don't eat spicy foods late at night, like never. And usually spicy for me is like mild.
Yeah.
I'm not usually on the hot, hot side.
Yeah.
I don't usually eat desserts that late. So this is like saying like right before bed or like.
The closer to bed, the worse.
Okay. Because I mean, I will have like ice cream around, you know. 4 or 5 hours before I go to bed.
You don't remember your nightmares, so if you don't remember them, they don't count.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
No, I'm not going to change anything.
Speaking of sleep, the latest fad in vacations is sleepcations.
Yeah.
Where people are going on vacations pretty much exclusively to sleep. Like, if that means a cozy cabin or a high-rise in New York, whatever it is, people are just so sleep-deprived, they're going on vacations and just sleeping 12 hours a day. Sounds pretty good.
I mean, like a sleepcation sounds good, but I don't want to pay thousands of dollars to go sleep.
Yeah.
Bingo.
Like, I mean, if you're going to say, like, I'm going to do, like, a long 4-day weekend at home and I'm just going to sleep, you know, as much as I want, I'm totally down with that. Now, that sounds great.
Speaking of that, I need to schedule my shingles vaccine.
Yeah, do it.
Yeah.
Do it on a Friday.
Yeah.
If you do it on Friday in the morning, if it's going to hit you, it will be, like, later in the evening.
Yeah.
And then you got 2 days to...
Got a couple headlines left, Rach?
I do. Headlines is still brought to you by Schnucks. Let's see. A snake on a plane delayed a flight in Australia. Mm. It was a harmless 2-foot green tree snake that was discovered as passengers were boarding from Melbourne to Brisbane was the flight. They called in a snake catcher. He initially thought the snake could be venomous, which is obviously a problem.
Yeah.
So it ended up delaying the flight for about 2 hours. But it turns out he was fine. Mm. And the snake has been given to a veterinarian to find a home with a licensed snake keeper.
A little surprised. Like, Australians to me just seem like they'd grab the snake and throw it out.
Well, but everything there wants to eat you and kill you.
Yeah, I guess.
And they probably have snakes that look just like that yeah. will kill you.
Wheels and I were talking about this off the air yesterday. Lululemon has filed a lawsuit against Costco, claiming the company is selling knockoff products. They say Costco is using manufacturers of branded products for its Kirkland brand without disclosing the connection to consumers. And Lululemon claims that their sale of knockoff versions of its products misleads shoppers. I don't really understand that thought process.
It's dupes, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to go to Costco thinking I'm picking up an actual Lululemon branded
unless you're real
item.
Stupid.
Well, especially when it's labeled Kirkland.
Yeah.
It's got a label on it that says this is not Lululemon.
Yeah, Lulu needs to go outside and practice falling down.
Good luck with it, because this is what Costco's done with every one of their things.
Mm-hmm.
So many of the Kirkland brand things are based on other things.
Yeah.
And they just call it a different thing.
AMC Theaters is going to start placing even more ads in cinemas nationwide. This started yesterday. It's now informing moviegoers that films are going to start 25 to 30 minutes after... sorry, I have to sneeze.
Bless you.
Pardon me. After showtime to help them avoid sitting through lengthy ads. So I guess people show up and then they're like, okay, it said it was 6:45, but here it is 7:15 and I'm still watching the previews. Yeah. Now AMC is just being a little more transparent about it. Yes.
Can it just be like a sporting thing where like, here's the pregame and then here's the game time?
I think that's what they're trying to say.
But then why do it?
Yeah.
Like if you're telling people, hey, just so you know, if you don't want to see all that, don't show up on the time we said.
Just say that the movie's at 6 p.m., and if you're there at 5:30, you're going to get half an hour worth of ads.
Or trailers. Like, I don't mind a ton of trailers. I'm always fine with that because I guess there's a chance there's something in there that's interesting, but I don't need commercials.
Yeah.
That's why I'm paying you all that money for your damn popcorn.
Waffle House has dropped its 50-cent egg surcharge as prices stabilize. They posted on X, excellent news. As of June 2nd, I believe this is a typo. They mean July 2nd. The egg surcharge is officially off the menu. Thanks for understanding.
I think you heard Wheels with eggs and
not leaves. You. They. Rach just read it. She didn't do it.
Can I say one thing about Australians?
Please.
I can't remember ever in 25 years on this show painting a whole group of people with a big broad brush. But let me do that now. When I was in Europe for like 8 months, I met a couple hundred Australians.
Yeah.
Every single one, male, female, young, old, were insane. Insane. Crazy.
Huh.
I mean, just bat crap crazy. Fun. Like when the Australians got there, the party was going to happen.
Yeah.
But like to a man, crazy.
Interesting.
Yes.
Do you think it's a put on at all?
Maybe exaggerated.
Kind of like how Americans act like they're tough and mean sometimes.
Maybe.
Because like when I was in Australia, like in Sydney, everybody was so nice.
And
they weren't crazy. They were normal.
Maybe it's like Superman and Krypton.
Get them farther away.
Get them farther away.
No, they were at party time, right? It was that.
Yeah, no, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like when you're out traveling, you're out there to have fun. So maybe that's it.